You are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Hey, this is Leo Costa coming to you from SeriousGrowth.com. Today on the show, we have Michelle Brent. Michelle, how are you?
Hey, fine, great, hey, awesome.
Before I get started, I have to tell you, and mind you, I've been in the sport for, I've actually been in the industry just a little bit longer than you. You've been in it 35 years, I see.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I've seen your photos. My goodness, those are impressive. And I have
that's a gross injustice
because that's an amazing, you know, and a lot of people don't really understand. We'll get into that for the sake of what you've done. Wow. I'm just blown away by that.
You know? Yeah, thank you. And just real quickly, I am going to get back on stage too. So we'll talk about that too.
Yeah. So I see that in your bio, you do various things. One of them is that I see that you're actually helping people prep for shows. And yes. Do you do a lot of those or just here and there?
You know what? I had my own little gym. You're talking, 1996. And I did a little bit. Since I'm a competitor and I had my degrees in physical education and whatnot, I didn't want to do the teacher thing. So it was just, I fell right into it when I got into the sport. And it's mainly I do is the coaching of posing. So I'm actually technically a posing coach and / choreographer because that's my forte. Yeah. I can do a full prep. I've done full preps, but, I'm very specialized in doing that part of it.
You know, I've done both those two because when I came through, it was important to be able to choreograph a routine because that you'd win like points and be get like best poser in the event.
Correct.
I haven't seen that now. And the last time I came out of retirement and started, competing again, it was just like these people were just moving willy-nilly to the damn music. And I thought, what the hell is going on here? But I think, I've helped people too, but I think that I'd rather be a posing coach.
Yeah, it's actually coming back because everyone's a coach now. I mean, everyone's a coach. And after they do one show, they're just like a coach and a posing coach and nutrition and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, the posing is so, so important because in the past, I have probably lost close battles with, getting my pro card years ago from not doing, just a little tweak of a pose, especially in your mandatories. And that's most important in the morning. The night show is the fun thing, but it's still fun to entertain. And that's what I do. I love entertaining. I swear, I got on this stage 1985, first time. Okay. I'm not going to say what my age is, but we can if we want. Anyway.
So 29, you said that already.
No, I'm 26, remember? We can reverse the numbers if you want.
I don't hear very well, but go ahead. 1985.
Okay. So 1985. So anyway, I was like, wow, I'm going to get in front of these people. I'm so self-conscious of how I look. I'm going to get in a freaking little bikini and like do these poses. So when I found out that you could do like this, fun stuff at night, I said, oh, hell yeah. So I fell in love with it. And just the rest is history. I love that part of it, the entertainment part. And I didn't even win my first show. I was like, whatever. Back then you're just kind of like so naive. And, but it is, it's a big, big difference how you pose.
Well, it's like in every other sport, it's a game of inches. And
the higher
you start going up against better competition, you got to make sure that you pay attention to all that little stuff.
I tell you, as I said just a bit ago, I'm going to resurge myself and get back on stage. This is another subject we could broach about women's bodybuilding coming back to the Olympia. Never went away, and I'll explain that too. But I just love it, so I'm going to get back, and it's like, okay, I'm doing my entertainment part, but the mandatory part is what I really have to concentrate and anyone else to get past the judges to get your first or second place. So
I was really influenced heavily by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he did some, I forget the name of the short film that he did. Maybe it was Stay Hungry, one of those. But
The first one.
Yeah, how he went to, he enlisted a ballerina to help him with the posing.
Right.
One thing that stood out in my mind from that was, he said, you have to realize that you're not only on stage and being seen when you're actually doing the pose, but they're also watching you when you're transitioning.
Exactly.
And you're, right? Yeah. And stuff like that makes a difference.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, the transitioning, because, oh my God, like you were saying earlier, these, especially the men, they're like, And so now I'm so excited, you know, to, you know, continue what I'm doing. And as I was saying earlier, I have a young kid in the Nationals, and tomorrow, literally tomorrow, I'm going to go to Connecticut and work with this posing and more the transitioning, and if he wants me a little bit with his routine at night. But that, the entertainment thing is so much fun. I mean, I even did a couple of men's, and as a matter of fact, I just did one this year. He's a pro, Josh Wade, his name is, from Sacramento, and he is moving up the ranks. But his friend slash client, who was a client of mine in posing, said, hey, Josh, you got to step it up here. I mean, you're like, he was a robotic man.
Yeah.
So I had seen my sister who lives up there, and went to his gym to train there and talk to him and her. And he goes, Michelle, let's do it. Let's go for it. So I did a men's pro bodybuilding routine. He didn't make the Olympia this year, but I did it for the Toronto Pro for him and for the Chicago Pro. So I'm like, yes.
Nice.
It's so much fun to work with the men because it's more of a challenge, you know? Yeah. And he nailed it. Yeah. He nailed it. Yeah. I was like, oh, wow, because he did a... it was a rock song, Death Finger, Five Death Finger or something, what Dan's called.
Yeah.
And the song was slower, but it was just the words were amazing. So I did like this posing coming down.
Oh, yeah.
And then we did Terminator. And he killed it. He killed it. I got him to do like, you know, just different poses. And at the end, he did, you know, did the thing going down. And it was great. I was
You know, so anyway. What I realized, I don't know about you, but when I got more command of me being able to pose and I knew I was good at it, you know, of course, you only get good at it when you do a lot of hours and a lot of repetitions.
Yes.
That's when I actually had the most fun, because at that point, maybe this makes sense to you. Like in athletics, when you first get into something, the sport or the game seems really fast. You know, it's like,
I remember the first time
I competed. Shit, I don't even remember being up on stage doing the pose.
Right.
You know,
right.
But later on, when I really had command of that, I really enjoyed going slow and just, that was part of the fun for me. But what you're saying as far as the competition itself, you're right. The morning, the pre-judging, that's where the show is won.
You really
have to nail those mandatories.
Those mandatories, yeah.
Show your highlights and minimize your weaknesses. Hugely important, you know? We know that, you know? So I totally can relate to you.
Go ahead.
To ask you is, this is part of what you do. I just got a big kick out of it. Michelle's Magic Morsels. Really? What the hell? Tell our viewers about that. What the hell is a magic morsel? Is it like weed or something?
I don't have any here. I gotta send you some. Once I set up my kitchen, because I have my own, I might outsource the kitchen if I have a big, you know, batch. But I've been doing these cookies way before Lenny and Larry, way before whoever, who's doing them now, Quest. But I was doing them at the time, and I don't know if you remember this fellow named Chef Jay. He was Triplex. His cookie was Triplex. Oh, yeah. Chef Jay in Vegas. And the story behind Jay was his friends were into fitness. It was, hey, you know, Jay, you know, make us something sweet, but, you know, with protein and something good. Yeah. That I'm sick of these, you know. So he came up with one of the first cookies called Triplex. And that was in the mid-90s. And then I got the idea because I used to work for a bakery, a cookie bakery. It was something like a Mrs. Fields. Yeah. So I said, God, I love to bake. Let's try this. So I was playing with the recipe. This is way, I mean, you're talking 96.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, I'll get, you know, 97, then 2000, I gave it a little try again. And then when I moved to Philly, was the first East Coast city I lived in with my husband, Bill. He goes, you know, why don't you give it a shot? And so I started it, and he's Mr. Corporate Guy. And I'm like, Martha Stewart, she's corporate. I'm like Ms. Layback Housewife, okay? I'm like, I don't even want to go corporate. I'll have this, there'll be a good little recipe. I'll sell it to the locals. And so that's where it started. It's a protein cookie.
Protein.
And it was, Yeah, it was way before, like I said, Lenny, you know, and they're big and they're all over the world now, but I didn't want to, and I could have done that, and I just didn't. So I still do it. It's been since 2007, and they're yummy because I make them with my tender, loving little fingers.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. There's a lot of love in there. Hey, I wonder, what's the breakdown on that as far as the protein versus carbs and fat?
They're about a 3 ounce cookie. Remember how Lenny and Larry got in trouble because they would say their cookie was 110, but they were only, and they were divulging it was half, but people were, it was misleading because people thought it was the whole cookie. Yeah. So it's about close to a 3 ounce cookie. I don't have one. I wish I had one here. I have the paper, not with the label, but I do the label everything. Anyway, to your point, the breakdown is, say a chocolate chip one is about 10 grams of protein, 10 to my carbs, you know, because it's mostly a carb. Let's face it. I mean, I do an unbleached flour, oats, you know, and that's about 20, 25. And the fat's about, you know, 8, 9, 10, maybe 10, 11. It depends about what kind of sugar I use. Now, this is the beauty about mine because I can – custom it just like I custom my jewelry, and we'll get to that
later. My list here.
But I can custom it, like say someone wants, oh, I want vegan, oh, I want plant-based. That's the latest greatest, you know, genre, plant-based. I'm like, really? Get the, you know, I feel like saying, you know what, like get the hell, whatever, plant-based, yeah, whatever, you know. But I'm like, I don't go with the Joneses, you know. I'm like, you know what, I'm not gonna do a plant-based cookie because it tastes like crap.
You do a cookie like for keto?
I can. It's really hard because, like I said, some of it has to bind with, you know, some sort of carb. But I was playing with that. I could do it now. What do people normally don't like? Well, the gluten-free is kind of a norm. Dairy-free. I do have egg substitute because I do egg whites, not the whole egg. I played with that with a few people. Customers, and I use kind of like a substitute. Now the keto one is a little harder.
Yeah, because we have that fat. Fat is the main energy in that particular.
Exactly, that diet.
What would you just use like in a cookie like that?
I wouldn't even know. Let me think about that one. Because you have to have,
you know, in a But interesting. Okay.
Then I do now because I didn't have time for my cookies in the last month. I've been doing these cookie bites, which they're a little rolled one. Yeah. And it's those are like you boil, you pop them in your mouth. You don't even have to cook them. They're like oatmeal, whey, peanut butter. It's not peanut butter. It's almond butter. I use is the source to keep it, you know, like sticky and
together. You're making me hungry. By the way.
I know. It's lunchtime there. I know. So those are my latest greatest. They're called, those are my BB bites. So it's like Magic Marshalls and BB bites.
That's cool. And your bracelet. Yeah. You also do bracelets. So
Oh my God.
How did you get into that?
Number one, here's my necklace. Check that bad boy out.
Okay.
I got into this. Here's the one here with the chain. So this is my chain gang. Design. Uh-huh. Then I mainly do the beaded. Now this one, I'll give you the story about this one particularly, but I got into it by a friend of mine. She's in her 30s now. She was 19 when she got into the sport. She got her pro card too. But Aaron, I saw on Facebook, I go, Aaron, these are pretty cool. And they were just a basic onyx and hematite, which is for energy and healing, you know, all those stones. And I have those stones here and this one. But so I go, oh, okay. She had the little Hamza hand because that's the latest, greatest, you know, thing that people like, even though it's the Hamza hand has got its origins in Israel, but it does have meanings for every other, you know, denomination of people with spirituality. Anyway, to the point. So I go, let me have two of them. I'll buy them, you know, give you, you know, support her. I go, how much you want? She goes, oh, 30 a piece. So she sends these bracelets and they're cute. They were, like I said, the onyx. They had the little, they didn't have the dumbbell. They were just the little Hamza. So one day in a cup, my husband, he didn't tell me. It's like in the kitchen, you know, on top of the microwave, the cup with all the beads. I go, what the freak is that? What happened? He goes, oh, mine broke. He's so laid back. I go, what the hell? So I said, well, let me see. It's just stretch bands. So Amazon's my friend. We have stock in it and all. I bought the stretch band, made it and fixed it. Thought, oh, hell, this is fun. Because I always was creative. I thought, this is fun. Shit. I text her, go call her. Hey, Aaron, are you going to run with this? Because I am. I says, I'm making a business out of this. And that's it.
There you go.
Funny, my friend. Yeah. It's
funny how you get into certain stuff, you know?
It's crazy. And I loved it. And it didn't, like I said, didn't start with the fitness ones. It was just, you know, pretty, mainly the onyx and hematite, like the stones, the semi-precious stones, the lapis, carnelian. There's so many beautiful, some beautiful.
I know.
And then I thought, go ahead.
No, I know it's a creative act, but I have to ask because I think about you. Do you actually string all these beads on this on the string?
Yes, yes. This okay, is so like
that would drive me fucking crazy.
Oh no! You should see this. Look at this one. This one actually is more work. This is actually beautiful.
I know.
It's
yeah. Does it help you like the therapy or what? What the hell? For me, it'd be.
I don't know. It's like, and then I get all in. Look at this one now. Now I've got more creative because hey, who needs a class anymore? I go to YouTube.
Yeah, no kidding.
This one's good. These are great Christmas presents, everybody.
Okay, no, that's really good.
Yeah.
So is this part of the way that is this like a like side stuff that you do to make extra money on?
Yeah. That's what I said. I said you go. Why not? So what I do now. Because there's really, you know, what am I going to do? I don't want to have a store, you know, all that, you know, the storefront and all that. So I do now, I went full circle with competing, with, of course, helping other competitors. Now I do the booths at shows. Oh, so yeah. Mainly I was contracted with John Lindsay with the muscle contest in Cali. Yeah. So I'm coming back in December. So maybe I could meet up and say, hey, hi, ho to each other.
Let me know. I actually competed at his events. So John,
He finally retired, and his, I think it's his daughter, because she goes by Lindsay Elgindy, but the Elgindy brothers took it over, and they're everywhere now. They're in India, Indonesia, Vietnam. Yeah, they really brought it here in the West Coast. West Coast. But they have a new show called the Masters Pro Masters USA to turn professional out there next month. So I'll be there. Yeah, and I'll have a booth.
I will. Yeah, so I'd like to meet you face to face. I like that.
People in the
How about seminars? Do you do many seminars?
What I do mainly, and before I left to another thing, but they call me Martha Stewart of bodybuilding. The Be Lifted, as you see, Be Lifted there is a friend of mine who was a client. She was a posing client and beautiful, half Samoan, half Filipino, if you could believe that combo. Wow. She's gorgeous. She's got the big legs, but not like huge, but she's perfect. So anyway, she says, oh, Michelle, I'm opening. And she's our nurse and she does makeup and she's got all these things she does. And she goes, oh, I'm opening up a gym. I go, a gym? And she's like been in the sport like 2 years. I said, yeah, my husband says, I love it. Why not? So he supported her and they started a personal training gym in Fullerton. Oh. And right before I left, I just went, I mean, I'm her go-to pro. I'm her, you know, resident pro, which, you know, now I'm out here. But she's got my posters there and everything. And she had a beautiful room. And I started doing all my posing and seminars out there, my posing, mainly a posing clinic.
Yeah.
I had done them in the past. I did a couple in Connecticut before women's physique, that other category got big.
Still learning about it, by the way.
Physique. And you know, there's a new one I could talk about too. It's called wellness. It's another animal. Yeah. But the physique, they didn't know how to, this was 2010. They didn't know how to do the poses. They had the MPC had it in its rules. And it was like, okay, well, I know I was doing those kind of poses, you know, way back when. Yeah. So I did the first women's seminar out there. More or less, posing clinic.
Yeah.
Now I'll be involved with a new one out here, not so much speaking, but just have a booth, and maybe in the future, because I'm sure we're going to be here for a number of years. A girl named Sean, I forget her last name, but she's a little, not little, she's big, tall. I can be pro bikini, and she had a great idea 5 years ago that she started a seminar for the women. To women only, to teach them how to, you know, the whole nine yards, how to get on stage, makeup, hair, posing, the psychological parts, nutrition. So she's having her next one here in Virginia. Doing that too. So I do a little of everything.
Yeah, you know, back when, because I'm sure you've heard of Tom Platz.
Oh yeah, know them all. I never met him. I met Noah Lee Priest. I know Sean Ray, of course.
I did a video with Lee Priest. And
he's a character.
Oh God!
I used to know his ex-wife, Kathy. Yeah. She's another story. Yeah,
but he was a trip.
Yeah.
But back then, it was really popular to do seminars. I mean, you know,
they're still doing them.
Yeah, Platz was like the highest earner when it came to seminars. That's where he made money.
Well, you know what? It's because they were at the right place, at the time. And the supplement business, oh my God, it's a $1 billion business. And it's like, now all these top pros have, supplement. Gaspari, Labrada, Haney, even they all have them now.
It was a big deal back then. Of course, I'm always interested in how somebody gets into the sport of bodybuilding. And I know in your bio, you are a high school athlete.
Yes.
What kind of sports did you play back then?
Oh, I was such a little jock. I was supposed to be the boy of the family, because that's why I was named Michelle, because I was supposed to be the Michael.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I was the third girl. My Italian, the husband Italian. Where's the boy? So I ended up coming out playing a third. Another girl. I was named Michelle for Michael, because my father's name was Michael, God rest his soul. And then, unfortunately, he passed away when I was only six. But so I was very athletic. I had the build, and I just love sports. And I played them all. I did my favorite was, so I'm a baseball player. I love baseball. So I play softball. Yay for the Washington Nationals, because they just got the championship. Yeah. I was so excited. I did volleyball. I didn't play basketball. It wasn't very good. I didn't swim. My friend field hockey. That was fun.
Is that because you like knock people down or what?
Like hockey, but it was field hockey. Like knock people down. It was a stick.
Yeah. Hurt people? Oh, I see what
you're supposed to do. We used to try to, we were some, goofball girls. We were trying to balance a stick on her nose. Yeah. And those were the days, I'm gonna date myself here, in the 70s when the, girl jocks, we didn't have the jackets yet. Now the girls got the jackets. Yeah. The little letter, we were just coming into getting the little symbols, for your jacket, thing. So I still have mine. Oh my God, I came across it the other day. I'm like, holy shit, I'm old.
When you move, huh?
Holy shit, I'm old. No. Yeah. So, what else did I do?
Tennis. Okay.
Tennis.
So how did you end up getting into the sport of bodybuilding? How did that all happen?
So how that all happened was, after college, I wasn't fat or nothing. I always felt like I was big. That was the thing. And I knew I had muscle because I studied that. I was physical education. So I'm like, oh man, what am I going to do now? That was when I was working for this cookie company called Grandma Buffalo's Cookies. And so anyway, it was in a mall in Salinas, California, and I had a girl that worked with me, and she goes, it was attached, like a lot of them do, spa, fitness center, whatever it was called. And I go, I'll join with you. And I knew, because this was so cool, this just gives me goosebumps, because there was one man that would come once a month. It was like, I didn't know anything about bodybuilding. And I knew he was muscular, and I knew I was muscular. So it was like, he would come to get a cookie, and I don't know if he was scoping me out. And, he didn't say anything to me. He just would get his thing and go. And I'm like, God, that's kind of what I want to do. I knew I had muscle. So it was perfect timing. This girl goes, she wanted just to lose weight. I said, I'll join with you. I didn't want to go myself. So we started with aerobic, and that's where it happened. And then my first husband, discovered me or whatever, or they discovered me. It was that fellow and his wife, Tom and Sally Sims. I'll never forget. Yeah. And they were the shit and the bomb at the time, because that's when they had the couples. Remember they had the couples?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like they were the bomb. And she only got into it because he was starting to do nudies, whatever, with other girl ladies, right? And she's like, oh, hell no. So she got in shape. And they ended up being, the couple, and and that's when women's bodybuilding started happening really strong. It was just at the end of Rachel, and Corey was coming in. So I saw it on TV, and I said, I want to do that. So that's it. And then the rest is history, 1985. And I just, you know, I was determined to get that damn pro card.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, though. When you first started training, did you learn yourself or somebody train you?
Pretty much ourselves. That couple kind of taught us something. I knew stuff because I did a little bit of weight training. Weight training wasn't really a big thing for women at the time, but we still did some weight training for my sports.
Yeah.
And just kind of haphazardly learned through my first husband at the time, and who I ended up with one son, one beautiful son, Kyle. He's 31 now. So we just kind of went along. We didn't have these trainers. We didn't have all this knowledge. We did have the Wiener principles. Boom. Yeah. Remember the Wiener principles.
Absolutely, man. So you got into sport that way. Then how long were you an amateur?
Oh, my God. It took me, hold on to your hat, 25 freaking years.
Really?
And literally, in all seriousness, only took 3 years off. I took 1 year off because in the beginning, when I got my national status, ironically, the first year I got pregnant and I said, okay, well, obviously I'll take the next year off. 1 year to do my gym. When I did my gym, I wanted to take time off. And another year, I had like two or three hernias. They weren't really from lifting, just I have, my surgeon said my fascia was just very loose. So I had to get, you know, that repaired. And then the lifting didn't help.
Yeah.
But so that was it, literally. And then the next year, even after my son, I went right back. And I would get top five almost every year, every national, every USA. When the Masters start coming in 2007, every year, I could not get this pro card. I would get seconds, thirds, fourths. Yeah. Okay. I'm the unsung hero. I mean, unsung champ because I have to say that about myself. I had six second place. No one knows my history. A lot of people know. Six second places. Six. Yeah. In the North American.
Yeah.
Crazy. Six times though. In the North American. Okay, and this is it. The poster here, this picture here, finally get the win at the North American, but the overall is only one overall, one card. So now I'm like the light heavyweight. The heavyweight is amazing. She's this big, beautiful black woman with this back, and there's no way I'm gonna. So I didn't get it. I'm like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? So, and I just, you know, persistent because that's what I am. I'm an athlete, true athlete, love the sport, determination, perseverance, you know, all those cliches.
The thing about the bodybuilding sport, unlike some of the other sports, is that, you know, you compete, I don't know how many times you compete at a year. I didn't compete that many.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you don't have, I mean, it's not like you're gonna compete every week until you get it. You could maybe compete twice or three times.
When
you don't make it, it's like, well, shit, I got to wait till next year.
Right, exactly. I would do too, because what would happen was I would always think, okay, let's try to get it. As I got older and wasn't getting it, I said, okay, well, let's do this Masters. But every Masters, they're like me. They're all, you know, mature muscle and good bodybuilders.
Yeah.
I could not get it. And it was like crazy. So I was just so persistent. But my fallback was always what's called the North American. Gary Udit here in the East Coast is the one that has been having it for years now. It's a four-day show now. It's crazy.
What's his name? Gary what?
Gary Udit.
I don't know who he is. Did he put on anything like in Pennsylvania?
Oh my God! He's like, he's the crony here with Mannion and all they're the ones that started it back here.
I did the Masters National in Pennsylvania, and I think he was the one that put that.
That was him. That was me. Like, I did. Maybe we did this show together 1 year. Who knows? We might have been there.
Yeah,
I did it so many years. My fallback show was the North American. So I would do maybe two. Once in a great while, I would try all three, like maybe the USA, you know, but that's hard. It's very hard. Two was okay because, you know, I mean, they're not quite peaked. And then the North American, I actually always looked better. But it was hard. Women bodybuilding, it's hard. It was only one card, four classes. One overall, and now it's two pro cards for all these classes. Even nationals, they have second place. You know, I mean, second place, that's not like, you know.
After a while, you're going to see everybody will get a participation
that's what I feel like. Second place is a, you know, let's, you know, they're second best. Who wants to be second best? Yeah, you know, but anyway, so so I consistently did it, and I got it finally. Oh God, what year? Not really that long ago. 2012. It took 25 freaking years. I literally from 1986 to 2012. So here's the graph.
I would say, I would say that's a really good example of discipline, determination, and passion. I mean, who in the hell would want to do that for?
Right. I go, what do they think? You know, the old, you know, saying out here, what are you, nuts? You know, I go, no, I just, you know, I put so much dedication for all those years. I just like, you know, and that's a true champ. I'm sorry, you know.
No, it is.
You know what I mean? I mean,
really agree with you. And with that being said, you know, bodybuilding to the average person is highly misunderstood. And you know that as well as I.
Right.
It's like, and how could they possibly understand that unless they were actually doing what we were doing? Because you know, I was in a relationship, my first one, and I would hear things like, why aren't you just be normal, you know, why are you doing this? And like,
who's normal?
Yeah, what's normal?
Right? What's normal, right?
Yeah.
I know, but that's the beauty of it. I ironically had even my ex-husband and the fellow I was with, you know, I always did ironically have long relationships. But they all understood it, but then it was weird. I don't know. Something would happen. But my husband now, Mr. Bill Brandt, he's an amazing man. He actually met me at the USA and introduced himself. I didn't know who, you know, I don't remember, but he gets it because he's in the sport. He loves the sport himself.
That helps.
And he's in the corporate world. He's the best of both worlds. He's in the corporate world, does his thing, you know, during the day, and then loves to. I even got him to recompete, and he looked amazing himself a few years ago.
Yeah.
So it's great because he's just such a cheerleader. I mean, he's so happy and excited that I'm, you know, going to get back on stage next year. You know, so and then I'll roll into that. So
The sport of bodybuilding is really interesting because,
well,
the thing about it is it gets such a strong reaction from people. People come in and they'd say to me, they look at a photo and they go, "Ugh, that's gross," you know? And,
but they're curious. They're not only curious,
but I think secretly they wish that they could actually
do
something similar to that, you know?
Right,
like,
exactly.
If I wanted to be mean, you know, I would say, "Don't worry, you'll never get like that." I mean,
I know.
You don't realize how much.
You don't understand.
You don't realize it, you know? But it's just really interesting, the strong response that it gives to people. Anything from, "Oh my God, that's beautiful," to, "Oh my God, that's gross."
Yeah. You know what? In my all my career of 35 years, you know, let's just say the last 20 or so, you know, to be realistic, I've really never, you know, maybe because of my demeanor and my stature and just the way I carry myself, maybe a handful of people like, you know, but for the most part, I've always got, and especially as I'm getting older, it's more positive because now they're going to go, "Oh, wow, you're what?" And I go, "Yeah, you know, I'm 62 years old. I said it." And I go, "No way. I mean, could I still, you know, sure." You know, so my women clients that I did have before I left, they were just like, you know, just excited just to, you know, to say, "Oh God, I mean, I could," you know, of course, obviously don't want to, you know, have the muscle I have, but they're excited that they could, you know, get in shape and still, you know, look halfway decent. And then, you know what? Then I ended up with, like, I don't know, a couple ladies. "Oh, I want to compete. And then I want to try." So it's a goal for these women.
Well, and they're an inspiration to people, you know?
Yeah. You know, now they have this different, go ahead.
Oh, they have the different divisions. I know.
Yeah. But still, they have the different divisions.
Bodybuilding. When I got into bodybuilding, what I did not know was how creative I was. I had no idea. In school, I never took any art classes. I didn't think of playing sports and football as a creative act. I didn't. But then it, you know, as I was longer in the sport, I realized that, hey, I am basically my own block of clay.
Right.
I'm creating something based on what I think looks good. I don't know if you've saw it that way yourself.
Number one, like I was saying earlier, it's like I never thought my wildest dreams I would get on stage, you know. you know, in front of people being judged, my body judged. But when I got there in the first time, the creativity of like the posing, and that's more like, okay, building and, you know, having my body all, you know, shaped to where, like you're saying, a statue, and then being able to pose. It was so interesting, so very interesting. And I was in the days, and he was, you know, God rest his soul, a good friend, you know, very good friend of mine at Corny, was one of the greats, you know.
I knew Ed. Yeah. I saw him at the very end. When he was in the wheelchair,
He wanted to marry me. I think he wanted to marry every woman. But he was, so just the point where, you know, molding the body and performing, you know, after that. That's what really, when I was saying earlier, got me interested in it. Because it's like, okay, I'm doing this weight training and grunting in the gym. And that's the hard work and everything. And the posing is very, very elegant, you know. You can make the mandatories elegant, but the most part, the men are retarded. Yeah. And I was like, why do you have to make stupid faces, right? Yeah. So when the women came along in the very beginning, it was amazing because they said, oh, look at these beautiful statuesque women, even though I'm only 5'4", 5'4", yeah, that's what I am. But anyway, so it's like statuesque, and you could do this really pretty posing, and the creativity of that after molding the body is
I mean, and even I think what became a challenge for me, again, this is a creative act, and then but it's like, okay, so I molded this for one show. I was the artist that molded my body for this show, you know, and then it was like, okay, I saw what I looked like, and then I thought, okay, this is where I need to fix this. I need to be old, and I think that part of it was actually what really got. So I'm so competitive. It's like, okay, I'm going to fix that, and of course, it's going to, like you mentioned earlier in the show, it's going to take. I have to wait another 6 months or 8 months, maybe a year, before I can see my work. You know, because you really find out what you really look like on stage. I don't know. Yeah. I think it has to do with being more objective. You know, after seeing yourself after the show is over and you get the photos, because I think sometimes it's really hard to be objective when you're in the moment, even if you have
COVID. Right. Correct. And I think, you know what, you hit the nail on the head with me personally, why I stayed in it so long, because it was like, okay, I want to change that. I want to make it better. And I got it. And then I don't know until, you know, like you said, you know, you're in the quote unquote off season. And then, you know, you need to, you know, just the curiosity too of it. How did I change myself? How am I going to look? So you know, people don't understand a lot.
Well,
of
they don't. How could they possibly understand that?
No. Yeah, it's just like they just don't get that part. They don't understand.
And I had this range of emotions because after a show, it was like, oh shit, you know, I could have done better, and I have to wait a whole freaking year. Once I got past that, you know, I was like, okay, I'm back in. I got the rabbit hole bodybuilding mindset. I can do this now, you know?
Okay, my question is, before you go on, so when are you going to get back on stage?
You mean a bodybuilding stage?
Yeah.
I'm done. You know what? I loved it. And I don't know if you know this, but this is not necessarily the reason why I won't do it. But 7 years ago, I had 3 strokes in 3 weeks that paralyzed
me. Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
In fact, I was 2 months away from a show.
Yeah, wow.
Let me tell you something, Michelle. It has nothing, very little to do with that. Here's my personality, because I've gotten into different, I got into cycling, and I get into these sports that are really, they're just something I have passion for. When that comes out, I'm done. I still love the game, but for me to want to get up on stage again, it's just not, as you know, it's got to be heart and soul.
Right.
I have one of those two, but not both. You know,
that's a loaded question, but I knew that I wasn't done, and it's like, I, you know, I'm so, I mean, all seriousness, very, very thankful, because in all my career, I've never had quote unquote metabolic damage. You know, that's the genre, the buzzwords of this decade. I've never broken a bone in all the sports, never tore maybe a slight tear. It's like I did have a hamstring tear that did debilitate me in my last show, which was freak. Yeah. It was a freak thing that happened. I'm just so thankful. Never had, you know, always had my physicals done. I've just been very, very, you know, very lucky. I don't know what the word you want to use. That's, you know.
And the thing about that is you got to be lucky and good. You know,
genetics too. I mean, like my biological dad passed away with a heart attack, but his wasn't congenital. It wasn't like hereditary. It was just not taking care of himself. Right. So just I've been very, very lucky with my family history. So, and smart with, you know, quote unquote, my, you know, my supplement programs every year, you know, and, or just the diet, the training, everything.
Everything. Yeah.
No. So I've been one of the few that I'm just very thankful. So I might as well give it another run. Why not? They brought back women's bodybuilding to the Ms. Olympia. And this is a subject I really want to broach on, is that women's bodybuilding never went away. They always want to try to get rid of it some way. Some, I don't know why. What sport ever is, you know, wants to try to get the female part of it away from their, you know, soccer, but whatever sport it is. So what happened was, there was a fellow named Jake Woods from Wings of Strength. Now, this is the little bracelet I wanted to get at. This is their colors. Okay. And their little wings there. See the little wings? Oh, yeah. Him and his wife at the time, 5 years ago, 2014 was the last time on Ms. Olympia. And they said, we don't want it anymore. Arnold already took it out. He doesn't care for the sport either. He really... He's already made it blatant that he's like, I don't like the way the men look now. They look so old. They're so big.
Arnold, is that you?
I know, right? Right? Pretty good at it. So, so anyway, yeah. So it's stronger than ever. They announced it at the Olympia, this Olympia, that they're bringing it back. We do have what's called Wings of Strength Championship, Rising Phoenix, which this fellow Jake Woods from Thousand Oaks, he's got, you know, he's the money guy. He's our backer. And he supports all the divisions, you know, but mainly he wanted to support the women bodybuilders. So in 5 years, he's gone strong. And they just had the Romanian championship. It was amazing, amazing. The production has gotten better. He had all the divisions, even the men. And the women are stronger than ever. And we have a lot of international girls involved. He supports a lot of the girls that say they can't come here, which, you know, is okay by me. You know, if they're champions, they're in top five or top 10 girl, why not? You know, support them. Get them over here. And it is. It's amazing. So that's what I think helped resurge my energy and thought to come back on stage. So I'm back.
That's a great thing. But let me ask you, with what you said as far as the, the women's, taking the women, like it seemed like they just wanted to take that part of the sport out. Why do you think that is? Do you think it was just that people weren't ready for, listen, I think that you have a beautiful physique. I do. There's no question about it. And I really appreciate, like I said, the time that you put into it.
Thank you.
Do you think that it's too much? Like, people aren't ready for a woman that looks like somebody like muscular like you, or what?
This is the 21st century. We've been around for 35 years. It started with, you know, like I said, Rachel, and then they had Pumping Iron 2, where you had Bev come from Australia. She wasn't even a bodybuilder. And then they give her, she was a powerlifter, and they gave her pro card after because she was popular.
Yeah.
And it got popular, even with her muscularity. Yeah. Now, yeah, granted, did it get a little crazy within like the mid-90s? Yes, it did. I have a catch, love, hate, you know, catch 22, whatever you want to say, thing with it too, because it's fine. It can define balance. I even say, oh God, wow. But it depends on the whole ball of wax. Yeah. Is she, you know, let's face it, if she's a little prettier, it does help. Does she carry herself right? Does she have pretty symmetry? Does she act feminine?
Yeah.
Makeup, hair, you know, the whole thing. I could see where you have a woman that's like, oh, you know, looks, yeah, I would do the same thing, say, ugh. But to the most part, it's sexy, I think. It's we're full, our muscles are full. I mean, our body, the beautiful curve in the glutes and the hams and the quads. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to put your photo up, when we air this thing, because it's just like, you're beautiful. I mean,
thank you.
Muscle and
skin. I won't cry.
No, it's true.
I'm very sensitive in the sense that I'm just, it's my passion. I love it. I've been doing it for 30, and I'm just always an athlete anyway. And when you have an athlete, as you know, you just got passion. You just, like my damn 49ers lost. What happened last night? What happened? I went to bed. I'm like, woke up in 2 o'clock in the morning. You're a son of a bitch. Yeah, exactly. 1:20 left and they lost. You know?
Yeah. So tell me this, because I had my own issues with the sport. Okay. So like you said, you know, when you get into something like this, you have to have a lot of passion, a lot of drive. There's a lot of me. Was
right.
there collateral damage in your life because of bodybuilding? Like for me, to be honest with you, I think that the sport, just because I was on the road all the time, I think that I was always a really good dad. But with regards to being a spouse, I was gone on the road a lot of times, and it was about me. I was with a person that wasn't athletic. And I would tell you that my first marriage, in part, I think, had to do with the sport that I was in.
Go ahead.
Collateral damage, at least from
Yeah.
Was there any of that with you?
It can happen. I believe, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to any sport that's got the passion. Look what happened to Tiger Woods. Yeah. You know, so, but in, you know, we're talking bodybuilding though. Yeah, it can happen. I was very fortunate. My first marriage, he was totally into it, but it's very interesting because after the fact, now he's been married to his second wife, fifth or whatever, very long time. And she worked out, but not like into the sport. Yeah. So I come to find later on, and we had the one son, and ironically, we were divorced a year after he was born. And I don't think it was the bodybuilding. I don't know what it was with him because he loved it too. I think maybe with me, now I'm just dissecting as I'm talking, is that maybe I was better than him, you know, and he just, maybe in his little head, he wasn't saying that. Because he couldn't do bodybuilding, so he got into powerlifting, and I think it might have hurt a little bit. Maybe I like you, I was a wonderful mom. I even after we're divorced, I tried everything with my son. I said, "You want to? Let's try a sport. If you don't want, okay. Instrument in high school, okay. You don't." So I always gave him that. Very supportive. I always use when I did my show. I worked it where okay, Robert, that was his dad's name. I said, this is my 2 weeks vacation, your 2 weeks time, 2-3 or whatever you had in the summer. Now you have them. Now, okay, great. This is what I'm doing. So I would work it where I would do my show at the same time. Yeah. Now that's getting a little bit off the track, but meaning that I tried to be, you know, well-rounded. And I thought I was. The couple of relationships I had after them, which were ironically long, maybe a little bit with the bodybuilding, it kind of bothered them after the, you know, a little bit. But the funny thing is they all lifted themselves. I never had a relationship with it, you know, and it just happened, you know, that happenstance.
Well,
and
I mean, listen, if you...
It is. It takes a lot of time.
Stats, I mean, what, 50% of people that get married, divorce anyway? I mean,
anyway, right?
You know, I just wondered if, you know, I'm basically talking about from my own personal experiences.
Right, yeah.
The other thing that I found that was kind of interesting was that this is my opinion. I personally think that the sport of bodybuilding is not healthy over the long haul. And the reason why, I'm going to be talking about, it's a type of sport that it's all built on extreme behavior. At least it was for me.
Yeah. Oh, no.
On top of that,
totally correct.
Yep. And then on top of that, you know, there were performance enhancements that I was using. And so I just found that to be really interesting. And yet, if I hadn't gotten into the sport of bodybuilding, because as you know, you have to know everything to the nth degree about nutrition. If it wasn't for the sport, I wouldn't have recovered from my strokes. That's the really
correct
in a way, you know.
Yeah. True. Yeah. I'll add to that, which is I totally agree. The extremes of it, once again, we got extreme sport. You got mountaineers, extremists, But this, I mean, you're high level baseball players. You're totally extreme, but we're talking extreme with bodybuilding. Yes, I totally agree. I think if the person knows what they're doing. And can and you have your extremes, but if you know what you're doing, you can make it where you don't make that extreme affect your life, you know, affect you physically or mentally. Because I had my share of, you know, gear too. Let's just face it. I mean, you know, come on, I can't get, you know, I genetics went only so far, but I always did it correctly and smart. Yeah, it's very extreme, and then it was okay. I leveled off, and I was just very fortunate that I learned, you know, we didn't have all this YouTube and all this, these coaches and all this, which some of them, most of them are, don't know what the hell they're talking about anyway. Nice. But I was very lucky that,
and let me tell you, even the fact that it was extreme and I was on, you know, like when I first started training, I was about, I wanted to see how far I could go naturally. In fact, I wrote training based for the natural athlete, you know, to take it as far as you could. And I don't condone drug use, but I took them, you know, because I got to a certain point in my career that I had to make a choice.
Correct.
I either
correct.
Had to stop or I had to make the choice to take the drugs and get into that side of it. I had people tell me, Michelle back then, that, oh, you sold out and all this stuff. And I thought, you know what? You have your opinion and fuck off. You know, that's okay. But the truth of the matter is this, and here's what most people don't realize. I made that choice because I also realized that competing in the natural events, although they have natural events now that are being tested differently through WADA, but I also realized that just because I was competing in a natural show didn't mean that I was competing with athletes that were all natural. That was
correct. Correct. It's a full of shit. I know. Most exactly. of them,
You know?
I mean,
what am I supposed to do? Stop competing now or what?
Right. And drug testing is so damn expensive. Oh, we drug. Oh, don't you bullshit. You know how much one pee test would cost for each athlete?
Exactly.
It's all, like $300 a pop, okay?
Yeah, they're just jerking off their mouth when they say that kind of stuff, you know? But and here's the funny thing about this, you know? And so I took that kind of with a grain of salt. And I have to tell you, I have feelings like the rest of us do. When people said that, it hurt my feelings. It really did. But I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
They don't understand. And I'll tell you something that's really funny about this. Because I've trained a lot of professional athletes over the years. And I have firsthand experience. There are a lot of drugs in baseball and football and everything.
Oh, please. I was in the midst of when baseball with your McGuire. And I was working at Gold's Gym. I had a gal named Tegan. I don't know if you remember the name Tegan Clive. She was very blonde.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Amazonian, big Amazonian looking woman.
Yeah.
She was the one that they thought she was going into a women's bathroom, thought she was a man. And it was, you know, that was one of the first. So anyway, she worked for Iron Man when it was real Iron Man. And, you know, I hate to, you know, be facetious, but anyway, I am because it's not Iron Man anymore. I don't know what it is, but anyway, to the point, it was like, she called, it was so bizarre. So she called, it was, I had my own gym. I actually didn't tell you this, but I did have my own little gym for about 5 years. Then I closed shop and then I worked for the local Goals, which was literally up the street. And it was Reggie Jackson was one of the managers. He's like part manager and ended up owning the whole thing. I'm not the manager owner. And that was the time, when the ball players, you know, it was crazy.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, and those same people that were bagging on me, you know,
right?
They're willing to watch these sports, and they don't realize that hey, you're watching guys that are and girls or whatever that are doing the same damn thing because you're almost forced to do that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So and then it leads me into then the organizations say just what you said. Well, we drug test, you know, but it's bullshit drug testing. They let the guys know when they're going to be testing them, and they use excuses like it's too expensive. No, it's about the money, you know.
Right.
Let's just be real about this, because I guess I really wanted to be serious about that. But they know that these organizations, they're in the business of entertaining, and they're going
to
be the best product that's out there. You know?
You just wait until, like I was saying earlier, you just wait when Dwayne Johnson puts his show. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be in Georgia. Yeah. And it's going to be like the big monster. Who wants to see a little? They want to see the mass monsters.
Yeah.
They want to see the Kai Greens, and they want to see, you know, Phil Hill come back. Well, who was really just, you know, this Rolly Winkler kid. Now he's just getting huge. I mean, they want to see that.
Entertainment.
You know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, so they want to see the women too. That's what cracks me up, because when so many people say, "What the hell?" I said, "We had plenty of people come watch us. They had this justification. We weren't selling enough tickets." I said, "Oh, go blow a poop, you know." You're just, you know.
Yeah.
So it's about muscle. It's like it's bodybuilding, you know.
Bodybuilding. Yeah.
But so deep, that's a fine line.
Bodybuilding.
Building.
Anyway.
Not bikini. No. But anyway, Yeah. So yeah, that's a fine line with, you know, with that. I, you know, like I said, I'm just honest and transparent. I've done my share. I probably will do more. I mean, you know, it's like, come on, you know, I mean, shoot.
Why not?
You know, why not?
Right? Part of the reason that,
look at this.
Yeah,
look at
I love this. It. Yeah. I'm in awe. Believe me. Well, part of the reason why I got back into the bodybuilding side, because I said years and years ago in the 80s, we were producing training courses and we were heavy into the bodybuilding scene.
Oh,
and
then
we went out because we're niche marketers and but we're coming back in again. And the podcasting is sort of the way back into
we're back. Yeah. Exactly.
And I don't know. You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to come back also is because of what you said earlier, is that there's so much misinformation out there.
And
social media has, to an extent, it's a good thing, but I tell you what, it brings out the Looney Tunes, the people that are out there. Some of these people that are advising people, you know.
I want to pull my hair out.
Yeah, you're in dangerous hands.
You know? It's ludicrous. Like I was saying earlier, these little newbies, and I don't want to be facetious about it, but it's so damn true. The social media sensations, what the frick is that? They do one show, they're going YouTube or they're not YouTube or Instagram. Oh, yeah, I'm a coach now. Come coach with me. And I'm like, what?
And then the thing that cracks me up, and maybe I'm jealous, I don't know, or insecure. It cracks me up because I see some of these idiots that are out there and they got this huge fucking following. I'm thinking, what the hell?
I know. I did the same thing, but that's scary.
You know, I guess you just got to learn how to play the game. I guess.
I don't know.
But at the heart of it, the reason why I come out and I'm mad about this and I expose it, you know, for what it is because listen, I've been in the sport. I've been in the personal training business for a long
time. Right.
And I know that if you don't know what you're doing, you're putting your client at risk.
Exactly. Yeah, let me get my little head. Yeah, so I know. And this is why I want to, it helps me, not helps me, but it makes me want to stay in it, to be like a coach that knows what the fuck I'm doing, you know?
Exactly.
So, hello, Virginia, I'm here. I'm going to, you know, enter, school you. But so that's another crazy subject.
Oh,
but,
man, I can just go off on that kind of stuff.
Oh, God.
Let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. Let's talk
about,
you're going to go ahead and compete in the Olympia. When is that going to be now?
Okay, well, hopefully we'll get there, you know, but that is a whole other animal. But just the thought of it being able to maybe get there, you know, even by, say, points, because you get the show and you get the winner, and now they got this point system where you do enough shows and you accumulate and you're added to the roster. Yeah. But so I'm excited. They got a new show coming. We got this schedule up for the women bodybuilders. We're hoping to get it back in New York Pro. I don't see it yet. From the horse's mouth, Jake Wood, he said that they're trying to get it there. But the first one of the year is, I get goosebumps. Look at my little goosebumps. Look at my forearm. Look at that forearm.
I'm jealous. You're making me feel really bad about myself.
This is genetic. This is all this. Boom. This is, look at that. Look at that, baby.
Real.
This is what it's about, right?
Is that your leg? Oh, it's your arm. Never mind.
That's my arm. Right. That's my arm. That's my arm. I know. I'm back. I'm really
feeling bad about myself. Can you help me?
Yeah, right? Come on down.
So when's the first show?
Savannah, Georgia. They have a brand new show in Savannah, Georgia, and it's early in April, and I'm there.
All right.
And guess what? Guess what I'm doing it to?
What?
My Way by Frank Sinatra. Oh,
beautiful. I like that.
Yeah, baby. I already got my music cut. You know, when I get my music cut already, I know I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
Because I am. Choreograph, you know. Yeah. So, hey, what song but My Way? So
it's fitting. Let me say,
Frankie. Yeah, it's So what, just Savannah, Georgia, April 11th, and then there's another Linda Murray here. You know, seven or eight times she won the Olympia. She has her own show. She puts her own shows on Norfolk, and I want to do her show in July.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool.
That's my thoughts.
I wish you a lot of luck. You're really.
Thank you.
You've been a very entertaining and.
I told you.
Yeah.
May I come work for you?
Listen, I want to ask you for our viewers. Do you have any do you want to send people to Michelle Smorsels. What
is it? Yes, yes. You know what? The best is I got my website. I know it's a mouthful, but it's Michelle's Magic Morsels and More.com. Okay. So it's Michelle's Magic Morsels. You know, Magic Morsels are my cookies. Yeah. But also, that's Sean. Go away, Sean. Yeah, yeah. Go away. Instagram, you know, like we were saying earlier, the social media. My Instagram is easy. IFBB Pro. Pro, everyone. Michelle Brent, my name. Okay. Am I seeing? Yeah, I think it's right up there. Where am I? Can't see it. Here I am. There I am. Boom, right there. Okay. And what else? Oh, and then Facebook is just my name. I make everything simple. Michelle Brent.
Okay.
So that sounds. Yeah. Contact me for any of my jewelry. Look at this cool baby. This is all beaded by me.
If you've got something that you can make for me that'll. That'll give me an attitude. I'm all over it. You better have something really strong because I have a bad attitude a lot of times.
Okay.
I'm old and angry now. I'm older than you are, by the way.
No, you're not. No.
I'm gonna be 65. How am I still walking?
Really? Yeah. When's your birthday? Yeah.
I mean, I still train every day. I still go in. I'm going to say like Plants used to say, I'm just an old guy having fun in the gym now. And I'm having a lot of fun.
I love it. I'm having a blast because all these little guys are going, what the hell?
Yeah.
So this is some of my stuff. Check this out. This is my 49er one. Nice. I do all kinds of custom. Whatever stones you like, colors, let me know. Text me them. And then we'll do something strong. Yeah, black and silver, hematite and onyx are always the good colors.
So after I wear this bracelet, I will become better looking, younger, and with a good...
Oh, yeah, and you're going to train. You're going to be Rocky. You're
going to coast for life. Anyway, okay, Michelle. Well, listen, nice meeting you. Nice talking to you. And
You too. Fun, okay? Yeah, okay. Let's stay in touch, kiddo.
Let me know when you're out in the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, I will. December, I'll tell you. December, right. I'll be there. Okay.
Right, good. Take care.
Bye. Bye.